The other day I came across a website, which some of you may know, called Pets Reunited Shepshire. And well, it's all about, as you can imagine, lost and found pets. But I want to speak to you today, not about lost and found pets, but about lost and found people. Because that's what chapter 15 of the Gospel according to Luke is all about. Lost and found people. The chapter is divided into three sections. Firstly, verses 1 to 7, the parable of the lost sheep. Then secondly, verses 8 to 10, the parable of the lost coin. And finally, verses 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. But I want to suggest that the three sections may be three parts of the same parable. What are my reasons for suggesting that? Well, let me give you three reasons. Firstly, the three parables here are quite similar, aren't they? They're all about something or someone that got lost and that then was found. Secondly, Jesus told these three stories together, one after the other, on the same occasion. And thirdly, the second and third parables here are not introduced as if they were new or different parables from the first one. So we see, for example, in verse 3 of Luke 15, speaking of Jesus, it says, he spoke this parable to them. But if we jump down to verse 8, it doesn't say, and then he told them this second parable, and in verse 11, he told them a third parable. In verse 8, it simply says, or what woman? And Jesus is continuing in the same line as in the first seven verses, and in verse 11, the same. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. So we can see this chapter either as three parables, or possibly as three parts of one and the same parable, all on the same theme. But whether we've got three parables here or one parable in three parts, the important thing to notice is when and why Jesus told these three stories. And the answer to that is in the first three verses, which say the following. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, that is to Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So, notice that important word, so, he spoke this parable to them. So, Jesus was welcoming tax collectors and sinners. Sinners here probably refers to people known to be sexually immoral and so on. And Jesus was talking with them and apparently eating with them. It says here in the complaints of the Pharisees and scribes, this man, referring to Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. So it seems that Jesus was welcoming these people, tax collectors and sinners. He was talking to them. In fact, they went there to listen to him. We're told that in verse 1. They drew near to him to hear him. But at the same time, he seems to have been eating with them as well, having fellowship with them in that sense. So the Pharisees and the scribes criticized Jesus for doing what he was doing. They complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Words that we would take in a positive sense. Isn't it great that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them? But the Pharisees and scribes understood that in a negative sense. And they complained about it to Jesus. And then we read in verse 3, so, in other words, as a result of those complaining words of the scribes and Pharisees, so, he, Jesus, spoke this parable to them. So they were told the reason for these three stories that come after verse 3. So Jesus told these three stories to those Pharisees and scribes. It says he spoke this parable to them, and the word them refers in the context to the Pharisees and scribes. He told these three stories to them to explain and justify why he, Jesus, was doing what he was doing, namely welcoming and talking and eating with those tax collectors and sinners. So bearing all that in mind, let's look at these three stories. And I want to suggest that the three stories all have the same four main ingredients. Firstly, in all three stories, there is a losing. There is a losing. In the story of the lost sheep, the farmer loses one of his sheep, verse 4. What man of you, says Jesus, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? In the story of the lost coin, a bit further down, the woman in question loses one of her silver coins, verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And in the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as he's often called, the father loses one of his sons, verses 11 to 13. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And in that sense, we can say that the father lost his younger son in that way. But as we've already seen, Jesus told these three stories to justify what he himself was doing, welcoming and talking with and eating with tax collectors and sinners, as we've seen in verses 1 and 2. Now, why was Jesus doing what he was doing? Well, because those tax collectors and sinners were lost, spiritually lost. And by the way, so were the Pharisees and scribes. But they didn't realise how lost they were, and they would have resented any suggestion that they were spiritually lost. But we, all of us, were born just as spiritually lost as those tax collectors and sinners with whom Jesus was talking and eating. And we were born just as spiritually lost as the Pharisees and scribes as well. Because when Adam sinned against God, we, Adam's descendants, also became sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, he's referring to Adam, many were made sinners. By one man's disobedience, by Adam's disobedience, many, and that includes all of Adam's physical descendants, including us, were made sinners. But we've all been sinners since we were conceived, since we were born. As David says in one of his psalms, Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It doesn't mean that his conception was in some way immoral. He's saying that from the moment of my conception and from the time of my birth, I have been a sinner just like everybody else, just like us. And if we're honest, we've never needed anyone to teach us how to sin, because it's always come naturally to us to sin since we were very young. Parents have their work cut out to teach their children not to do bad things, because they do them spontaneously, because it's the way they are. And parents have all their work to try and encourage them to do good things, not bad things. And we sin, as we were reminded in the first prayer in this service, we sin in thought, word, and deed. And we sin not only in what we do, but also in good things that we should do and we don't. And sin, tragically, leads to death, spiritual death. And sin ultimately leads to hell, being shut out of God's favourable presence forever. Our default position before God is to be lost, spiritually lost. And until we understand that and accept it, there's no hope for us. Because the only people who long and pray and search for salvation are those who know and feel how lost they are. So that's the first thing that we see here in Luke chapter 15. In all three stories here, there is a losing. But secondly, in all three stories here, there is also a searching. A searching. In the story of the lost sheep, the farmer searches for his lost sheep, doesn't he? Verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And in the story of the lost coin, the woman searches for her lost silver coin. Verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? See all the effort on the part of that woman. It's only a story, but it's a story that teaches an important spiritual truth. She puts all this effort into finding her lost silver coin because of its value to her. And in the story of the lost son, the father searches for his lost son. Does he? Does the father search for the prodigal son? Doesn't he just wait at home until his son hopefully comes home someday? Look at verse 20 of Luke 15. Speaking of the prodigal son, we're told he arose and came to his father. But listen to this. But when he, that is, the prodigal son, was still a great way off, when he was still a great way off, what happened? His father saw him. How do you explain that? What does a great way off mean? A mile, or maybe 10 miles. After all, the prodigal son had crossed the border into a different country, a foreign country, and now he was on his way home. But when he was still far from home, his father saw him. He saw him. Did the prodigal son's father have some really powerful binoculars? Did his father have Superman's X-ray vision? No. His father had set off to look for his son. The prodigal son's father had packed his rucksack and set off from home. And maybe already travelled a huge distance because his son was still a long, long way from home. But his father saw him in the distance on his way home. And he had compassion on him. And just like the farmer, and just like the woman, and just like the father of the prodigal son, Jesus was searching for spiritually lost people. The key verse in this gospel according to Luke is Luke chapter 19 verse 10, which says the Son of Man has come from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of the mission of the Son of God. To come from heaven and become a human being like us but without sin. But to do what? To search for and to save spiritually lost people like all of us. And that's what Jesus was doing at the beginning of Luke chapter 15. He was seeking that which was lost. In this case, those lost tax collectors and those lost sinners. And Jesus was after them. He was seeking them. He was searching for them in order to save them. And he's still doing that. Praise God. Jesus is still today, 2021, on the 2nd of May, all over the world. Jesus is still seeking and saving spiritually lost people like us, like you and me. And that's why there's hope for people like us. Because Jesus is still searching for lost people like us. So in all three stories, there is a losing. In all three stories, there is a searching. Thirdly, in all three stories, there is also a finding. A finding. Because in the story of the lost sheep, the farmer or the shepherd finds his lost sheep, doesn't he? Verses 4 and 5. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses this one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So the farmer finds the sheep that was lost. And in the story of the lost coin, the woman finds her lost silver coin. Verses 8 to 9. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it. And in the story of the lost son, the father finds his son. We've already seen it in verse 20. He, the prodigal son, arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father found his prodigal son. And in a sense, Jesus had found those people whom he was welcoming and with whom he was talking and eating, the tax collectors and the sinners. We don't know if any of them actually repented of their sins and put their trust in Jesus as their Saviour, but at least they were in the best possible place. They were with Jesus, the Saviour of the world, and they were listening to him with interest. So what about us? We've already been reminded that all of us are by nature, since we were conceived and since we were born, we are all equally spiritually lost. That is our default spiritual position by nature. But we've also been reminded that there's a search party out looking for us, and that's Jesus. He came into our world. He became a real human being to search for and to save lost sinners like us. Let me ask you, have you been found by Jesus? Because it's not so much, is it, that we find him? No, we're the ones that are lost, and he is the one that is after us, looking for us, searching for us. It's he that finds us, not we that find him. Have you been found by Jesus, or are you still lost? How can we know whether we're lost or found? Well, if we really have been found by Jesus, that means that we've heard and understood the true message of the Bible. We've believed that message. We've responded to the message by repenting sincerely of our sins and by putting all our trust only in Jesus as our only hope of salvation. Does that describe you? So we've seen that in all three stories here, there is a losing. And in all three stories, secondly, there is a searching. In all three stories, thirdly, there is a finding. And fourthly and finally, in all three stories here, there is also a rejoicing. A rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing are one of the key themes of this gospel according to Luke. Luke says more about joy than Matthew, Mark, or John. And in the story of the lost sheep, the farmer rejoices when he finds his lost sheep, verses 5 and 6. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He doesn't just find the sheep, but he rejoices. And he is so happy and so full of joy that he calls together his friends and his neighbours so that they can celebrate the finding of the lost sheep together. And in the story of the lost coin, the woman rejoices, doesn't she, when she finds her lost silver coin in verse 9. When she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. When something fills us with joy, when something makes us really happy, we can't wait to share it with the people around us. And that's what we see here. And in the story of the lost son, the father rejoices when he finds his lost son. Verses 22 to 24, the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And at the end, in verse 32, it was right, says the father to his older son, that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And Jesus himself tells us what the rejoicing of the farmer and the rejoicing of the woman point to. Verse 7. I say to you, says Jesus, that likewise, in the same way, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And verse 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The joy of the farmer when he finds his lost sheep, and the joy of the woman when she finds her lost coin, and the joy of the father when he finds his son, represents the joy in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So, whose joy is Jesus talking about here? He's not talking first and foremost about the joy of the angels. No. Jesus is talking about the joy of God himself in the presence of his angels. It is God himself, who is rejoicing here. The farmer and the woman and the father of the prodigal son, in their rejoicing, reflects the joy that God himself experiences every time a sinner truly repents. The farmer inviting his friends and neighbours to rejoice with him, and the woman inviting her friends and neighbours to rejoice with her, and the father telling his servants to celebrate the return of his son, all of them represent God himself telling his angels in heaven to rejoice with him every time a sinner truly repents and trusts in Christ as their Saviour. And that was why Jesus told these three stories. The Pharisees and the scribes couldn't understand how Jesus could welcome and talk to and eat with tax collectors and sinners of all people. But Jesus himself was never happier than at that very moment, because he had come from heaven to earth to seek and to save lost sinners. And who knows, maybe as Jesus sat there with those spiritually lost and needy people, talking to them and eating with them, he could already see perhaps some signs of spiritual life in some of them. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Let me ask you three simple questions. Have you given God joy by repenting sincerely of your sins? Have you given God the joy that he experiences when anyone repents and trusts his Son as their Saviour? Secondly, do you rejoice with God? Does it thrill your heart to see people or to hear of people turning from their sins to Jesus? How do you respond when you hear of someone who has come to faith in Christ, whether near or far? Do you share the joy that we're told here that God himself feels when a sinner truly repents? Or are we sadly cool and indifferent when we hear such news? And thirdly, would you like to give God joy? Then go after the lost sheep. Look for the lost coin. Go after the lost son. Because God has given us, although we are sinners too, sinners saved by grace if we're Christians, truly believers, God has given us the privilege of being instruments in his hands for the salvation of others, to take the good news about Jesus to others. He's given us a part to play, even though he is the one who saves and not us. But he has chosen to use people like us, brother and sister, to help other people be found who are lost. So as we draw to a close, what have we seen in this passage of the Bible in Luke chapter 15? We've seen these four things. We've seen a losing. We've seen a searching. We've seen a finding. And we've seen a rejoicing. We've seen how the Son of God came from heaven to earth and became a human being to search for and save spiritually lost people. We've seen Jesus doing that in Luke 15, welcoming those tax collectors and sinners and talking to them and eating with them, going after lost people to save them. And if we are Christians, real followers of Christ, we can apply the four things we've seen here to ourselves. We were lost, spiritually lost, but the Lord came after us, didn't he? And he found us and he saved us. And God himself in heaven rejoiced when you and I came to faith and were saved. God himself celebrated in heaven with joy your salvation, my salvation, along with all the angels in heaven. But what if you're not yet a Christian? What if you haven't yet been found? Well, you need to start by accepting the fact that you are still lost. And don't trust yourself to get yourself out of the mess that you're in. No, trust the Lord and only him to find you and to save you. Call out to him and say to him, "Lord, I'm lost. I can't find myself. I can't save myself. Please, Lord, come and rescue me. You are my only hope. And he will save you. He will save you. And there'll be rejoicing in heaven, in the presence of the angels of God, over your salvation.